Welcome to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Filacci, Senior Pastor of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. Our mission is to provide practical application of biblical truth to help you experience true purpose and lasting change that can begin now. Here's Pastor Russ.
Last week we were talking about the exchange, you know, like giving our life for the life of being a disciple, giving our lives for his life. And he did the same for us. And the cost of being a disciple, and the cost is, you know, an expense, and an expense is an exchange. You give money for something in return of value. And so as we are giving our lives, as we are counting the expense of what it takes to follow Jesus, we have to realize and look at the exchange. What are we receiving? And it's not a selfish thing. It's the motivating aspect of it. You see, when we are exchanging our lives for his, we are turning in an old used car and receiving an F-16 in return. I don't know. I just made that up. But we're receiving Jesus. We're receiving him. We're receiving the Spirit of God within us. I mean, can you think of anything better if we really believe this stuff? Can you think of anything better to own in your entire life than the Spirit of God within you? Is there anything better? So the cost of being a disciple is worth it. Does it mean that it's easy? No. Not at all. But yet, what we have to understand is that some of the things that we struggle with giving up, we place more value on those things than the Spirit of God. And that's the tension. That's the tension for all of us as we become more and more committed to the following of Jesus. You know what I mean? It's that tension where this thing that I have, this thing that may not be in line with what the scriptures teach and the truth of God, I'm having a hard time because I value this too much. It's too much of my identity to give away, right? And that's the good things too. I value this too much because deep down I might not really trust that God is good. You see, and so we have to always get back to the gospel message and what it is that Jesus provides us through his death and resurrection. And that is his presence. That's his faithfulness. And I would say, you know, even ask you this week, how is your confidence in the exchange? And what I'm saying and asking by that is, how was your confidence this week in the presence of God in your life and with you? Did you doubt it at times? Because maybe you were doing things you weren't proud of, and therefore you doubted his presence and his care. Like, these are the things you have to ask, because, you know, I struggled with this most of my life. It's like, if I had a good week, whatever that means, I felt that he was more with me than the weeks that I struggled. And so there has to be a confidence in the exchange. There has to be this knowledge that says, as I wrestle with this whole sanctification process, as I am giving my life to Jesus, to follow him with all that I am, I have to have a confidence that he is with me in the struggle, right? That he is with, because it's without the Spirit of God, we can't win the struggle. That's where the self-righteousness comes in, where it's all about you doing the right thing. That's no confidence. But if we understand our spiritual poverty and the constant need for him, right? We can't be self-righteous. We just can't do it. You can't do it. But if we've checked 5 boxes that says this makes me better than everybody else because I did this, and then I did this, and I did this, and I did this, see, that becomes very pharisaical. But more importantly, you are in bondage again. So your confidence really isn't there. Your confidence is now in who? So how is your confidence in the exchange? Watch Galatians 2:19. For I, Paul, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. You see, there's an exchange again. He died to the law the expense, the cost, was giving up the old law system for what? To live for who? They don't coexist. Do you see that? There's no coexistence. Through the law, through what I used to do, through the way of the old ways, the old covenant, I died to it. So I had an understanding of it, but it's through it. I said, no more that I might live for what? You can't live for your Savior if you are bound by the law. Disciples. Now, come on. I'm going to say that a lot today. I have been crucified, murdered with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who what? Loved me and gave himself for me. Now watch this. I do not set aside the what? Grace of God. We're talking exchange again. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in what? Vain. It was pointless. We have to get this, because if we have a law system, if we don't have confidence in the grace of Jesus Christ in our lives, guess what? We are spinning our wheels and going nowhere, because we're spending more time in the law trying to justify ourselves. And he is over here saying, you're wasting your time. The price has been paid. I carried the burden. I brought all of mankind's sin up on my shoulders and died for them once and for all. There is no sacrifice left for sin. So do you see what Paul, there is such a confidence in the exchange. But I dare say that we often get sidetracked as disciples trying to cleanse ourselves so that we can be disciples. We're wasting our time. Because if we can act out of a place of confidence when we are feeling the dirtiest, guess what we experience? Grace and liberty. What does that liberty say? Keep doing this? Does the liberty say keep doing this? One more time. Does the liberty of God keep, does it say keep doing this? No, because you meet love and kindness. You meet the reality of the God of the universe, living within you, saying, I have died for that. But now I am in you, so it's a whole different ballgame. Trust it. Trust it. Truth and grace, right? Truth and grace. Now, again, confidence. Come on, confidence. What is your confidence based on when it comes? You have to answer this to yourself. How is your confidence in the presence of God in your life every day? Because it's going to determine how you walk. It's going to determine how you walk. And you know what I love about this truth? Is that it spans over every age group represented here today. I would dare say maybe some of the teenagers really don't even have an awareness of the presence of God in their life. Of what it means when you believe in Jesus that he is with you, which if that was gotten, if there was a confidence in his presence in you, the walk through the hallways of school in this culture might be a little different if they knew they were not alone. They really believe that Jesus Christ was in them and can strengthen them to be the person he created them to be. Some in here may come from a very legalistic background. Where this is foreign news. It's like, here's the good news of Jesus and grace, but here's all the weight you got to carry. If you don't do A, B, and C, How's your confidence? Because we're going to return to the story in 2 Chronicles, because underlying all of this, you're going to see, is a confidence in their God. in the face of some serious adversity. And it says, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom, this is Jehoshaphat praying, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Now here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon who? You. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. I want you to see something here. This is in the face of some serious opposition. Their lives are at stake. There is nothing small about this particular situation that these people are coming to kill them. They're coming to murder them. So if I could paint a picture for us, imagine just like, you know, we're here in Broomfield, you know, and you got the armies coming against us, and you know, they're in Thornton. And they're marching down 136th. We know they're coming. And there's a lot of them. Would that bolster your confidence in your God? Would that bolster your confidence that he is here with us? That he is with us? That he is with us? Because what you see here, the underlying principle here, is that there was a confidence that their God was listening. There was a confidence on the part of Jehoshaphat that their God was there. Hence the reason they were praying corporately, seeking the will of the Lord, because there was nothing they could do in their own strength. Has anybody ever been in a place where there was nothing you could do in your own strength? You just felt you were tapped out. So your confidence matters. Your confidence matters. Your confidence matters. Because here they are. They're just standing before the Lord. Everyone with their families and their children and their loved ones. And they're there going, Lord, we have nowhere else to go, but our eyes are on where? You. If you don't have confidence, your eyes are not going to be on him. They're going to be where? On you or on the situation. So again, do you see how this all works together? But your confidence can't be of your works. It's the finished work. It's the finished work. Ow. How'd you get that bruise? I was preaching. There was a confidence in his presence. And were the Israelites, were his people, faithful people all the time? No. Just read through the Old Testament again. You're just like, when are they ever going to get it? And that's what he's saying to us. When are you ever going to get it? So let me read Hebrews 4:14 again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. What is our confession? Any takers? Oh, someone's calling it in. I'd like to phone a friend. They're watching online. Well, answer it. I'm dying to know the answer. It's still going. Answer it. That was so good. Our confession is Jesus, right? Our confession is the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. That's our confession, and you have to hold it tight because it slips away real easily. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come, what? Boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because you've done everything perfect? No, that we might obtain what? Because you know you need mercy. And you know you need what? Grace. That to help in time of need. And that word for weakness really is, it's, how do I even put this? It's any form of felt need. Any form. Like weakness. When you know you're weak, you know you need something, right? You know you need something. Here we have the Israelites in desperate need, right? There was nothing they could do. Sometimes when it comes to our sin, we are in desperate need, right? We feel like we keep doing the same thing over and over again. We are weak, and if we do not admit our weakness, we cannot experience the throne of grace. We all are weak, but through the Spirit of God living through us, we become stronger and stronger, but it's a constant in our lives until we meet Him face to face. Then all things pass away and everything becomes new and there is no more sin. So it's important that we always build the confidence in the exchange. And what is the confidence in? The finished work of Jesus Christ. If you mess with that, you're messing with confidence and you're messing with the good news and you're right back to where everybody else was before Jesus. But yet here, because they had the law, because they were given the law, because they were given the sacrificial system, they knew they were God's. They were God's. They were owned. They were His people. There was a confidence in that. And so, in verse 14, it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" Do you see a confidence being built? He was not giving strategy yet. God Himself was establishing His goodness and His faithfulness and the fact that these were His people and He knew everything that was happening, and He was establishing what? The confidence that He is with them. He is with them. And just because they're facing these odds does not mean that He is not with them. Anybody here facing some big things right now? Well, hopefully this account encourages you. "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you will not need to fight this battle. But you're going to position yourselves, face them, and stand still." What? "And see the salvation of" who? "The Lord." Here we go. Here's a statement of confidence for them. Who is what? Who is? One more time. Who is? "O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them." Here it is. Let's all say together. "For the Lord is with you." And He says the same thing today. All of you who are children of God through your belief and faith in Jesus Christ, He is with you. Does it mean you're perfect? No. No. And some of you need to stop putting the demand of perfection on others. Please. We're bound and we are unified in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus, and that we all are spiritually poor and need Jesus and need His help. Hallelujah, right? That's why it's so important that we gather and be unified and encourage one another in the faith. Again, just so we're all clear, does this mean, hey, sin all you want? No. If you're hearing that, then you need to have someone hit you in the head with a shovel. Don't do that. But he said, just face them, face your issue, face that thing that is coming against you, face that thing that could destroy you, but you face it, but you have the confidence to be still because your God is with you. So good. When it comes to being a disciple, He may lead you in ways that are uncomfortable. He may lead you into territory that you feel you are outnumbered, and you might be, but you have God with you. Therefore, you're not outnumbered. They may have more numbers, but you outpower them because God Himself is with you. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you. He is with you. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went out, and Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out where? Before the army, and were saying what? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Do you see what they were proclaiming? Do you see what they were proclaiming? His mercy. Their confidence came in his mercy because they knew they were messed up. They were proclaiming his faithfulness, his goodness, his mercy. They weren't singing, "We're about to get you. Our God's going to destroy you." They weren't trash talking or trash singing. They were singing about the source of their confidence, the mercy of God, the mercy of God, the mercy. Oh, it sounds so good. For his mercy endures for a day when you're good forever. I love this. Now, when they begin to sing and praise to the Lord, and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. What? For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. He just created utter confusion. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. I love that. They helped destroy one another. I would love to be in that scene just to see what the heck was going on. Just kill everybody. Why? I don't know. I'm confused. Everybody's an enemy. And can you imagine now? I mean, like the people of Jerusalem, the Israelites are just standing still. And God is doing all of this for them because he is merciful. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Man, come on, disciples. You need a confidence in your God who is with you, that is not intimidated by anything you are facing, any person that you are facing, any situation that you are facing. He is with you. He is with you. Your confidence has to be in the one, not yourself. Your confidence has to be in him, not a ritual. Your confidence has to be in him, not a disciplined devotional reading. Those are all good things, but it doesn't change the faithfulness of your God. What it does is it helps us understand the faithfulness. First Timothy 1:12 says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me. This is Paul. He's not taking any credit, is he? Because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Do you sense the confidence that Paul is trying to transfer to others by utilizing himself? He's like, it's only Jesus Christ that enabled me to do the things I am doing. And when he uses the word ministry, he's not talking about this high and spiritual, lofty position. He is literally using the word that means just work hard and serve, which we are all called to. But he sees it, that he has been counted faithful because of the mercy of God, that Jesus Christ through his Spirit has enabled him to be a disciple, to minister, and to serve. It's not by his own merits, because he said, I blew that long time ago. And if anything, I did it worse than most of you. So my hope is that you're picking up on the theme here. Where's our confidence rest? In Christ. Any of you ever had these thoughts? When I clean this part up, then maybe I can go start doing stuff. When I stop struggling over here, maybe I could go start doing stuff. No, as you start doing stuff, that's going to clean itself up. I mean, when we decided to become parents, it's not because we thought we were qualified. Just saying, sorry, Angela. First kid's always the guinea pig. I was a first child too. Right, Mom? Right, Dad? He didn't raise his hand. It was all your mother. Confidence, come on. Here's another reason that some of us may not move forward. Because the obstacles that we're facing are we're too busy. I can't deal with this mountain of responsibility that I have to face. God is like, I'm going to take care of that if you allow me in. We use busyness, man, that is a crutch for so many of us. You were not created to be too busy for him. Just saying. And if you are, you need to reevaluate your priorities. Us were not made to serve a system of the world, the economic system, the American dream. We weren't made to serve that when 99% of us, and then give 1% over here. God will handle it and give you wisdom on how to balance and how to maneuver. And when you start to walk as a disciple and to walk into things that are uncomfortable and experience the power and faithfulness of God through you, all of a sudden you want to make some more time. And you all are placed strategically. This is how he has a chance to show you how good he is, how faithful he is. Do not be too busy. Anybody else here? Maybe you got some plans, hardcore plans, and God, you just can't, right? Being that type of disciple doesn't fit into the plan. The plan. I dare say loosely hold on to the plan, because the one who actually created your life with a plan is saying, just give me some more attention so I can show you how good I am and what you're really created for. Because your life is but a mist. It may disappear tomorrow. Confidence, confidence, confidence. One more account, because it's like almost the same story but different. Now here's Paul. Thrown in prison. Acts 16:22. Then the multitudes rode up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, the worst part of the prison, reserved for the most gnarly of the prisoners, and fastened their feet in the stocks to the wall. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Why? Because they were super Christians? No, because they maintained their confidence in the worst scenarios. They maintained their confidence in the worst scenario, and they were singing hymns, meaning declaring again the goodness of God. I would ask you, when you are facing some serious issues, is your first instinct to sing some hymns? God, you're so good. No, doesn't mean you don't do it. I'd rather begin to do that and to pray and declare the goodness of God instead of declaring all the craziness and scenarios going on up here. And so there they are. And the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. This was after. I don't even think they were praying for this. They were just declaring the goodness of God and that he was still the same, even in the situation. And their identity did not change, even in the situation, because their confidence was in Jesus. Now watch. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. I mean, he could have escaped. He could have escaped. He could have left. He could have left. He was free to go. He could have left that experience. But what you're about to see is when you are a disciple, you view your circumstances a lot differently. His confidence was in the goodness of the Lord and his faithfulness to work through any situation, not just to help him escape a situation. So they said, then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He just made a disciple. God cares so much about the master plan. God cares so much about the lost. He cares so much about the lost. He cares. I want you to hear this. He cares so much about the lost. And when I say lost, it's those people that you want to punch in the face. I'm telling you, it's the people that you hear posting things on Facebook that you're just like, what is happening to this country? And you get mad at these people. I just want them to go away. Right? That's not God's plan. Sorry, my neck. That is not God's plan. His desire is for all to be saved. And if we have a confidence in our God that is still God, even though the country is going berserk, even though morality and sexual immorality is just running rampant and being turned into all sorts of craziness, does that mean we stop loving and carrying the truth? No. We stay in difficult situations sometimes so that we can be the light to those that aren't receiving any light. Because our God is merciful, not just to us. Not just to us. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Do you see the master plan? Do you understand that you are being equipped for the works of ministry? That you have been placed where you are so that the confidence in who you believe in can grow. And as your confidence grows, people receive the benefit. People receive the benefit. Who has some gnarly coworkers? I can't raise my hand. Chuck's sitting right there. Mark's not joking. Whoever says, I wish they'd just go away, I'll enjoy my life so much better if that person would just suddenly disappear somehow. Think about a God who can do all things that created that person. But that person is separated from that knowledge. How do you think they're going to operate? Who can bridge that gap? Help bridge that gap. You. Why? By bringing a Bible and proclaiming scripture to them? No. By loving them, being kind, merciful. Because once someone knows that you're for them, they actually have ears to hear. Right? Mm-hmm. Who wants to listen to someone that you know you're already judged before you walk in the door? Paul earn that jailer's ear by not leaving. And he could have. He could have escaped, but he didn't. And the whole family was baptized. How's your confidence? Let's grow it, because we are disciples, right?
Yes.
We are disciples. We are disciples. Amen. Jesus, thank you again for the opportunity to gather, to worship your name, to proclaim your name and your mercies and your grace. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that what was revealed today is not lost, but only grows as we seek you, Lord, as we just we turn our eyes on you. We set our eyes upon you, Lord, and we set our eyes through all the doubt and through all the knowledge of our own unworthiness and weaknesses. But yet, Lord, we set our eyes upon you and we boldly come to you and say, Lord, help, 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 help. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this time, Lord, for your spirit within these walls, Lord, that is just amongst us. And I pray, Lord, that some of these hearts that are callous right now can just be penetrated by your spirit that reveals the love and the kindness of you that draws people to you, Lord. I pray for that. If there's anyone in here that has never received Jesus, now would be the time just to raise your hand and we would pray. We would pray. I just want to give time. If there's anybody here, amen. Thank you, Jesus. That right now, you've met a need. Lord, that there is a knowledge of you. There's an acceptance of you. But Lord, I pray now that today as believers, that we can go forward with a newfound confidence in you who goes before us. Jesus, we thank you for being so good. So good. And I just feel compelled to pray for those. If there's like this pain in your body, I mean, this is one of these things you're up against. If there's a pain in your body, just raise your hand. I just want to pray over you now, all over the room. And as we pray, we're going to pray in confidence, not that he does everything we want, but that his will is perfect and has the ability to heal, because he is a good God. And Lord, I pray over all these right now who are suffering in their body, where pain, Lord, is what they feel daily, and it really is a deterrent on so many levels. It's a discourager. It's an oppressor. Lord, as these that have raised their hands, we are raising our hands in faith and in a confidence that you are a good God and that you are a healer. Lord, I pray that if it be your will, Lord, we're just going to ask that you heal. We're going to ask in your name, Lord, that you would heal these ailments and these difficulties within the bodies of these people, Lord Jesus, that you would touch them by your mighty hand and release them from this pain, Lord, and establish health and strength and sound mind. Lord, we ask this in your name, believing that you can do all things. And then, Lord, in all things, we submit to your will. But Lord, you say, you ask. Ask. And Lord, we are asking today for healing, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you knowing that you hear us, that you love us, and that you go before us. Amen.
You've been listening to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Felici, an outreach of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. To contact Pastor Russ, visit his website at russfalaci.com. That's Russ, FALLACI.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, an alive faith is an applied faith.